Richard, you also enjoy art, lightening the subject a little. Does art have a duty to inform, or is there space for a little pleasure? I'm sure there is, we're drinking red wine,
Yeah,
so.
I think both. When I have a little thing in my mind when I artistic, autistic. It's a language. Now, you can write your last will and testament in a language, or you can write a love poem. A language can be used for anything, but it expresses thoughts and emotions. And the purpose of art is to either extend your thoughts or emotions, or it affects somebody else's with them. When you see a painting and say, "I like that," why? Nobody can actually say why. What they're reading is the subconscious message. A friend of mine, little Terry Pierce, he came up with the idea that where you have the two written languages in early Egyptian, that the hieroglyphic was for the pharaohs, who quite well, because they're of the old bloodline, could quite well be dyslexic. Dyslexia is very, very common in the old blood, like left-handedness, and that's why left-handedness was considered by the church to be evil, because they wanted to take over all the authority of the true kings. And so dyslexia and left-handedness, which are very closely linked,
So they went through the bloodline, this dyslexia and left-handedness.
yes, ambidextrousness, mostly, but that amounts to about the same thing. But what the dyslexics do is use pictures to convey. And so his idea about the pictographic writings of the Egyptians as being the royal languages, and then the demotic being the mundane language, well, I can't argue against it, because I can't say, "Oh, no, it was that," because the line goes way back to the painted caves and things like that, the whole idea.
Can you tell us a little bit about that some dragon head I believe you carved?
Oh, that's for Longship.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a boat built for Walt Disney as the advertising medium for his film Island at the Top of the
Oh,
World.
that's a very entertaining film with Donald Sutherland.
That's it,
Yeah.
that's the one. And I got to captain the boat and to re-rig it and get it into a working thing, which I did. So I carved the steering oar for it and the prow of it. I think the boat has since demised, and I had some wonderful time teaching my friends how to sail a Viking longship. But they're remarkable things. I mean, totally in love with Viking longships. They're remarkably fast and easy boats to sail. When they built Odin's Raven for the Isle of Man Millennium Celebration back in the late 80s, she was built up in a yard up the reaches of the Stavanger Fjord, and they launched her from there. She was about a 60-footer, and when they sailed down the fjord with a scratch crew, they just got a crew together and sail it. It was so fast, it outstripped the Navy escort. The Navy boats couldn't keep up with it.
They're very simple, the Viking ships. I've just got the one sail.
Yes.
So
Yes.
is that not very manoeuvrable or?
Depends. I found a way that you can lateen the sail.
What does lateen mean?
Well, you know how the Arab dhow have triangular sails? That's a
Yeah.
lateen, that you can get it very fore and aft, so you can skate very close to the centre of the wind. And I found that by dropping the end of the boom into the forepeak, you can lateen that and do exactly the same with a Viking boat. Now, there's no pictographic evidence on doing that, but there's no pictographic evidence on not doing it, and it does have two lifts on the boom. So it's possible to do this. I did it. I did a lot of experimental work. Some of it was tied up with the Jorvik Centre, and some of it was tied up with Greenwich Maritime Museum. And we really stretched what Viking boats can do. Mm. And it was from that I fell in love with them, you know. They're great fun. Mm. Very fast, very flexible, very easy to handle, and lasted a very long time.
Mm. So you've got a lot more out of being practically involved than you would if you'd sat in a library just researching and going through paperwork.
Oh yes, you know. If you turn a boat over, which fortunately I haven't, you know its limits. You can surmise its limits from documentation, etc. Yes, I've done the academic study. And practical archaeology is far more important, in my view, than just pure theorising. Anybody can have a theory, but if they can't do it, it remains just a theory. Mm. If you do it, it becomes practice.
Mm.
And that is always stronger than theory.